Okay, so why don't we start by chanting some japa. Now, let us take it as japa is very serious. So, why is it serious? Because we want to connect with Krishna through his holy names. And just how wonderful it would be if we continuously were able to actually experience Krishna in his holy names. So the first step in that is chanting offenselessly. And and part of that, as we have discussed, is chanting attentively. I'm not letting the mind go here and there. So we've divided that up attentively, as you know, into four different steps, simple steps. One is listen to one mantra. Make that the task of the mind. Second is what?
Sankalpa.
That you really have to decide. It doesn't work unless you're determined to do it. I've seen this so many times that I make believe I'm determined, but actually I say I'm going to do it, but my mind has a different plan and I accept that. The third step is what?
Yato yato
nischalati. Yeah. Yato yato. Wherever it goes, never mind. You know what your mission is during this time. And the fourth step is be detached. One mantra. That's all. If you didn't listen to many, that's okay. If you don't worry about the future, don't worry about the past, just be detached and chant one mantra. And the way I personally look at it is that if I can chant one mantra, actually chant one mantra, I'm very, very, very fortunate. And I feel quite happy about that. Then, to do this, to chant one mantra properly, one really has to be ready to do some battle with the mind. Either by pleading with the mind, or by the broomstick method and criticizing the hypocritical and deceitful way that the mind acts. So, the mind will bring up so many people that you don't like, and just to give it something to feed on, that's all it is. To keep us entangled. Or so many people you do like, or this or that, or get involved in the politics between them both, the ones you do like and the ones you don't like. But just not during japa. During japa, just listen to the mantra you're chanting now. So it takes some recognition, acknowledging what the enemy in this is, and it's the mind in this. Now we can plead with the mind and beg it to be friendly to us, which means bring us closer to Krishna, or we can, the broomstick method, or just neglect it and just keep one's mind on the actual name of Krishna, that is Chintamani, wish fulfilling. Any way you want, but hear Krishna's names. And if we can chant without offense in this way, then the effect of the Maha Mantra will be there. Because we can chant, is that verse, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can chant for millions of years, and if we don't rid our chanting of the offenses, the effect of Prema Bhakti will not come. So that's the first task, and so far we've mentioned two of the keys. First, listen to one mantra, and second, be ready to neglect the mind. Okay, so let's do some chanting of japa, and then we'll move to the next stage, or the next step in the third key. Okay, usually after something like this, it takes the mind a little while to accept what it's supposed to do. Oh yes, I'm supposed to listen right now. And if you're not serious, it won't accept it. So the first is know what to do, and then sankalpa. Don't fight with the mind. If you're going to fight with it, use the broomstick and finish it. But don't make a battle with the mind, because it will win. If you resist, it will persist. Neglect it, plead with it, or criticize it like anything. But don't have a conversation with it. Okay, ready? One mantra, Sankalpa. And we can chant at our own speed. I think that's suitable now. But I'll, was it helpful if I kept reminding?
Yes. Because getting a tape, you say this one sometimes. The things are like sit properly.
Yeah,
that's like a new version of sit properly.
Yeah.
One mantra.
Listen.
Sit internally properly.
Yeah. That's deep. Okay. Let's begin. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. There's two ways to deal with that, from my experience. One is sit somewhere more alone, and the other way is just concentrate on the holy names and use it as Krishna. Because when something disturbs you, you can't superficially put your mind on the holy names. So that's life, you know. I'm a very good devotee, but when someone does something I really don't like, then I turn into my fangs grow and I'm terribly angry.
You look closer to the mic, Mark.
Yes. So this point will come up soon, about where our shelter actually is. And we do have to fight with our mind. So you can, either way, you know, I think both are legitimate. Yeah.
I notice that it takes me longer to chant, because I really try to listen to the mantra. So my fear is that it's going to take me forever to chant my rounds.
Okay, there's several answers I could give to that. One is, if you're chanting forever, there's no problem. But you have your other service to the holy name also. The other is, you can chant one mantra attentively, and then you can chant the rest inattentively. It's up to you. Or you can, once the mind quiets down, you can just speed up. But you have to find the balance. That's the hardest thing in life, finding the balance of all the different, the physical, the mental, the intellectual, the emotional, the spiritual, and making it all lined up behind the spiritual. But it can take longer, but it's a terrible statement on, if it does take longer, it means that all this time we haven't been listening, which is why we keep getting the same results that we get. And there's such a difference, again, between chanting and having listened to the holy name, and chanted and having not listened to the holy name. The effect on the consciousness is like night and day. That's my experience. I'm sure, I think it's everyone's experience. So I can't say that you shouldn't do your other services, and I can't say that you should chant inattentively. So you have to find the balance. But theoretically, it takes the same amount of time to chant inattentively around as it does to chant attentively. Theoretically.
Sure.
But practically, it may take a little longer. But once the mind is slowed down and it's somewhat addicted to the taste of the holy name, then it will go very, very easily and smoothly. I've had both experiences. Maharaj was even saying 2 days ago that in the beginning you have to chant a little slowly to get the attentiveness, so, and then you can speed up. A good question, practical question. Anyone? Yes, Sava? We could go through life like that. You know, just whatever we're doing, chanting the Maha Mantra. Nice. Because the mind, once it holds on to the holy name, it's attracted, because the holy name is sweet. And what to speak of if the holy name holds on to us? Then it's completely effortless, and you can't imitate that. Thank you. Any other comments, questions? The other microphone.
Many of us have services where you were talking also about success. You know, what is the meaning of success? Where we're working with some project and many people and buildings and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That how to do that and maintain the same equanimity. If you could just speak about that a little bit, because it seems that as soon as you do that kind of service for the name and for Prabhupada, that the tendency is again to go into the passion.
Yes. I'll say one thing now, and this topic also comes up in what I wish to speak about now. The first part is that what specifically was speaking about while we're chanting our rounds, especially, and you didn't imply it was otherwise, but what's really speaking about allowing our consciousness to become absorbed in Krishna's holy names. And then when we have other services to do, then we have to do other services. If, like Arjuna, he had to fight on a battlefield and he had to become angrier, otherwise he couldn't fight. So we have to do our service, but we should do it as seva, as service, and we should, and I'll speak about this more, but we want to become instrumental for Krishna, and as soon as the false ego arises up, it wants the credit, it wants the prestige, and why doesn't everyone acknowledge what I've done, and look how hard I'm working, then we're not trustworthy enough for Krishna to allow us into his most private, secret chambers, so to speak. So how to deal with that, the first step in dealing with that, I will speak about later. This is a very big topic, that last point I made. But to keep it simply right now, we want to accept that we are servants. We're servants of Krishna. And everything that we do is simply as a servant. Now, your question was how to keep that consciousness and not let the passion, which naturally comes from all the activities we do and we deal with the material world, how do we not let that affect us? So, first answer is chanting 16 good rounds is probably the best thing we could do as part of our regular daily sadhana, to do that quality, attentive rounds. Then we have a chance, and I'll speak at least a little bit about a mood, so to speak, to prosecute devotional service in and chant in, etc., as in the rest of the talk, which I should start. There was one more question, and then I'll... Well, yes, Paul. Yeah, we won't be able to...
Read it in the microphone?
Yes, microphone, please.
For me, it is much more easy to focus in difficult situations, like in Sankirtan. It is difficult for me to, like, be serious... focused in situation like this, when there is very nice atmosphere, songs, your birds are
chirping.
How to accept this situation very seriously?
I understand the question. I could give a clever answer, you know, just say, go on Sankirtan 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and put yourself in difficulty always, but that would only be a clever answer for a serious question. First thing is that the material world is built to give us difficulty, and there's no avoiding it. So it will come. So you can be happy to know that you won't get off easily. It will come. You'll get old, if nothing else. And then you, one day, each and every one of us will be on our deathbeds, and it's not pleasant. So that part will come. So the question is, how can we be serious all the time and understand the seriousness of Krishna consciousness? We'll take it like that. And there are two ways. And one way is, the most important thing, perhaps, is to know what Krishna consciousness is. It has to do with C.C. Radha and Krishna and their service and the sweetness of that. And we're missing out on the most wonderful thing by being enamored by the mode of goodness, for example. Not that this is the mode of goodness, but by being complacent in the mode of goodness. Some of us don't have that problem, because we are not visited by the mode of goodness very often. And we're always in distress. But seriously speaking, if you're fortunate enough to have a peaceful mind and by nature and have a lot of mode of goodness, please use that. You are so fortunate. Please use that to have the most wonderful thing. So to get a taste for that most wonderful thing that will certainly shake your complacency, if you're serious about that, then you should study very carefully Srila Prabhupada's books, because he speaks about this most wonderful thing. And you should associate with very serious devotees. And in that way, perhaps they will share with you some of the jewels of the sweetness of the relationship between Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, etc. But it's such a, I believe, that a very, very sincere and open-hearted question. So on one side, we will get pushed by the material energy. You should know that. I never thought I would get old. We used to say, when I was 20 years old, never trust anyone over 30. What am I going to say now? Now we say, never trust anyone under 50. The material energy is relentless. By continuing with your sankirtan, certainly Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will give you so much mercy and solve this sincere difficulty that you have, certainly. And I pray that he doesn't give it to you by giving you distress. Okay, let me go on a little further. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke on Chaito Darpana Marjanam. He spoke those two verses, and then Nam Nam Namakari Bhuta Niva Sarva Shakti. The first verse glorifies the holy name and tells the results, the seven wonderful results of chanting the holy name that conquers the material energy, which is unconquerable and insurmountable. The second verse tells us why we don't get that effect. Anandam Bhuti Vardhanam Pratipatam. If we had that, then it's completely irresistible. Oh, by the way, there's also the sweetness of sankirtan, the group chanting, that it's irresistible. Mahaprabhu causes the bliss of Vaikuntha to descend when the devotees chant together. And there's panchanga bhakti. Engage in more panchanga bhakti in general. But what the main problem is offenses. And Srila Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha, he says that this is the problem. We commit offenses, especially to the holy names. It's not the fault of the holy names. And he said to think like that is also namaparad. Harinama kalpanam. It's imaginary. And how do we know that this isn't just some sectarian cycle of thinking? Because the greatest, purest, most sincerest, magnanimous souls have given their lives to teach us these things. And they are not cheating people. Nothing to gain. So, it's offenses. So the offense that we... Two offenses we spoke about. First is the criticism of devotees, and especially the careless blah, 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 this one's like this, and you can just feel your heart going like this. But we spent our time mostly speaking about inattentiveness about in the chanting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Bhajan Rahasya, he describes the asatrishna, the material attractions that are anartas. Artha means gain or wealth. Anartha means things that we value that are actually not valuable at all. Even up to the point of being Lord Brahma, heavenly pleasures, mystic powers, liberation, the whole thing. Asatrishna, temporary, thirsting for those. Ridaya dolabam, tatva vibrahma, weakness, envy, maliciousness, etc. All these things stop us. And aparad. So after hearing this, and even hearing that I should just chant one mantra. We hear the second verse, and we're all very determined. We've made our sankalpas, no more offenses, no more criticizing, no more anartas. I don't want mystic powers anymore. I don't want this. So after the second verse, which points so directly to the things that make us dudhaivam, unfortunate, you'd expect the third verse of the Shikshastak to be a fully ecstatic verse. Because by removing these things, these anartas of dudhaivam, we just expect fortune to visit everyone. But it's not. The third verse is something of a completely different mood. And that third verse, as we know, is Trinada Bisani Chena Toroda Bisa Hisnina Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadhari. Because one of the results of actually becoming determined to make advancement and to give up anartas and to give up offenses is that one, and to give up these petty material desires that have, in the words of Maharaj yesterday, they have invaded our consciousness. When we decide no more of this for me, the result is that we become painfully aware of how much our consciousness has been invaded by non-Krishna. And it's so embarrassing. And it's terror. It's horrible. And therefore, Trinada Pisani Chena Toroda Pisa Hisnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtani Asadhari. So that is humility. Humility is the natural result of the sincere desire to advance in Krishna consciousness. Humility, because as long as we aren't serious, we can think everything is wonderful. I don't know what everyone else's problem is. You know, devotional service is so everything. All we have to do is do this and that and that. But as soon as you actually want to love Krishna and purify in your heart, it's like turning on the light in a room that hasn't been cleaned since time immemorial. Just imagine. As long as there's no light on inside, you can imagine everything is wonderful. But soon as the light goes on, all you see is dirt. And that causes humility. And therefore, Mahaprabhu, in the third verse, says, Trinadapi Sunichena. This is the mood of a Gaudiya Vaishnava. Any Vaishnava, any devotee, any true religionist. Trinadapi, Trina means grass. More low than the grass, more low than the grass, because when the grass gets stepped on, it comes up again. But a Vaishnava, his mentality, he stays down. I'm falling. Because he knows what's in the dirty room of his consciousness. Others may criticize him, and he can think very easily, you don't know really what the problem is. You only saw just you peeked inside the room and you saw a little bit. But I'm more aware than anyone else of what's there. And it's disgusting. Embarrassing means when others see it. Disgusting means when you see it. So, Trinadapi Sunichena, lower than the grass, Tarorivā Sihisnunā, that means, Eva means like a tree, more tolerant than a tree, because what's the opposite of being, what makes us intolerant is again this mood of big false ego. Why has the universe not completely surrendered to my desires, and all of you are included in the universe? Why have they dared to not be fully conscious of what it means that I am the center of the universe? This is false ego blossoming. And therefore, a Vaishnava for himself is tolerant because he knows he's insignificant and filthy-hearted. And he has so much work to do, and therefore to clean his own room, his own consciousness. And therefore he's not critical of others. And he's tolerant. He knows someone bumps into me, and he knows I deserve worse. This is one of the keys. What's the verse? Tate, you know, kampam, susumiksham. I deserve worse. What I haven't done. Sometimes we think, like that one time, nothing against Catholics, but a Catholic priest said to Prabhupada, what have we done that makes our boys and girls join you? And Prabhupada looked at him and said, what you have not done. Burning people at the stake, and, you know, who knows, this and that, and this and that, the meat eating, the indulgence, nothing against that, you know, ISKCON has no right to hold up we're much humbler than we were previously, because in Prabhupada's presence, we thought, look how wonderful we were. But actually, it was, look how wonderful Prabhupada was, and look what he did with us, who were like, who were war monkeys, practically speaking. And we thought it was us. It was all going on by Prabhupada's power, in fact. By his purity. So this is what happens. When one becomes serious, when one makes the attempt to chant attentively, one makes the attempt to chant without offenses, one will become humble. And Ravindra Suprabhu has told me that he's heard it, and he said he couldn't remember where. He said, Prabhupada said that just the sincere and continuous attempt to chant attentively or to chant without offenses, that is the Namashraya platform, the Namabhas platform. Success, never mind. But the sincerity of the attempt, that is more what's in our control. Whether we succeed or not, you know, we have our karma, we've done different things in our life, this life, previous lives. That is not so much in our control, but with our ability, whatever it is, we should sincerely attempt to do this. And then that brings us above, and then the light will go on in our consciousness, and then we will see what's there, and we will become humble. Amanina manadena, requiring no respect for myself. Very easy to say these words, very hard to put them in practice. Giving all respect to others, not only not requiring for myself, but giving all respect to others. In that state of mind, Kirtaniya Siddhahari. So, and what does Kirtaniya Siddhahari, what is the connection between that state of mind and Kirtaniya Siddhahari? The connection is, I want to become a devotee, a servant, not even a devotee. I want to be a servant of Prabhupada. I want to become a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. I want to become a servant of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. And then on one hand, I have this aspiration. Maybe it's weak, but it's there. And yet I look in my heart and I see the garbage that's there. And therefore, one takes shelter of the holy names. Until one is humble, one cannot take shelter of the holy names. And that's the third key. So the result of trying to chant one mantra and the result of neglecting the mind that we've been listening to since time immemorial, don't be surprised if it doesn't immediately say, yes, Prabhu, from now on I'm always going to listen to every single holy name. It may fight back a little bit. The result of these things, yet we have to sincerely try, is the third key that we've listed, is humility. And what that brings, if our desire is strong, is namasraya. And what is namasraya? It is actually taking shelter of the holy names. And this is the answer to Mataji's, part of my answer to Mataji's question of what, how do you go out and deal with the world and be triumphant like Arjuna and not be affected by the mode of passion? And the answer is you must be very humble and understand that you are only a servant and you must take shelter of your masters, especially the holy name. And as far as I understand, there is no way around this. If you actually want to do a service, seva, you have to become humble. And in ISKCON, if you try to do any service, life will make you humble. Yeah. We don't like it, right? But this is part of the process. This is the medicine. You have to become humble. We want to become humble, but we don't want to. It doesn't taste very nice because of my false ego, because of my bitter false ego. It tastes so bitter. But I'm an insignificant servant. Oh, not only a servant, but an insignificant servant. Who wants to join this movement of Mahaprabhu that's going to turn us into insignificant servants eternally? But if we accept reality that that's all we can ever be and take shelter of Krishna, regardless of how dirty our room is, then it is a person like that is a devotee. He's achieved basically the platform of nishtha. And he is worthy of all respect. All respect. And therefore, in Harinam Chintamani, Maharaj didn't speak about it in detail. But when Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes the 26 qualities of a devotee, he describes the one Sarup Lakshana quality of having taken shelter of Krishna. He is my only refuge, and being fixed in that, even if there are none of the other qualities of a devotee manifest, that quality makes it very dangerous for anyone to offend him. And therefore he speaks about this in relationship to avoiding the offense of sato nindam paramam aparanam vitanute, that this is all that counts in one sense. If one has taken shelter of Krishna as one's shelter. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has written a song about this third verse of Suksastak that I'd like to read very simply. Raman, could you play a Bengali melody? And I'll read it in English, though. And listen to this first verse, the first thing that he says. If you make a great effort in your heart to chant Lord Krishna's holy name, then you will become qualified to chant. First thing is making the effort, and that will give birth to the qualification. It's the effort. Then you will turn away from false ego. Then you will think yourself more fallen and lowly than a blade of grass, less important than a pile of ashes. Then you will become more tolerant than a tree. Turning from violence, you will protect others. Remember, this is the result of making the effort. In the course of your life, you will never give trouble to others. And forgetting your own happiness, you will help others. Then you will become saintly. Then you will have all virtues. And turning from the desire for fame, pratistha, you will be humble. Aware that Lord Krishna makes his home in every living entity, you will always give all respect to others. Possessing the four virtues, humility, mercy, respect to others, and not desiring respect for oneself, in that mood, please chant the holy names. Approaching the Lord's feet, Bhaktivinod says, O Lord, when will you make me qualified in these ways? This is Namashraya. Bhaktivinod Thakur. He talks about Namashraya in two of his songs in Gitavali. First, the Udala Aruna, Arundaya Kirtan. You know the melody for that? Udala Aruna Porabhambhagi Jivana Anitya Janoha Sar Tane nanabida bi paraba namashraya kore jatana tumi takoa apinatkaje. You should understand this essential fact. Life is temporary and filled with various kinds of misery. Life is temporary and filled with various kind of misery. Well, what to do about that reality, that essential fact? Therefore, carefully take shelter of the holy name and remain always engaged in his service as your eternal occupation. Jibera kalyana sadhana kam jagate ase maduranam Abhirate mira tapana rupe ridgagane viraje. Desiring to shower benedictions upon all living entities, this sweet name of Krishna has descended to this material universe and shines like the sun in the sky of the heart, destroying the darkness of ignorance. Nama Krishna Nama Sudha Kore Apan Judao Bhakti Vinoda Pran Nama Bina Kichu Nahi Koala Chaura Bhuvana Maje. Without the holy name, there is nothing within the 14 worlds. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name of Krishna and thus satisfy the soul of Bhaktivinod. This is Namashraya. There is a difference between chanting, and this is where the feelings start entering into the chanting, with humility and then taking shelter of the holy names. So soon as one feels humble, I have no capacity, I have only one hope, and that hope is the holy names. Oh, Krishna, full dependence, surrendering to the holy names. Then the feelings start coming. And after this is called Sharanagati, you can call it Nishta, you can call it Namasraya, taking shelter of the holy names. Then Ruchi, and chanting in that spirit. So when we chant in this way, and it can't be, it's not mechanical, and it can't be forced, it can't be artificial, it has to be, I have no other shelter than you, O Krishna Nam. I have no other hope. You can't artificially do that, because if you have hopes, everything that, as we grow older, we go through life and there's problems. There must be problems. So what do we use to take care of our problem? We use our intelligence, we use our money, we use whatever good looks we have, janma, aisha, we use our influence, shruta, beauty, knowledge, to push through all the obstacles. But what must happen sometime in our life as our own abilities fail us and we fall flat on our face. Now what do we do when that happens? Sometimes this may happen 5 or 10 or 20 times a day. What we consider unfortunate can turn out to be the most fortunate thing. And this, if we see Krishna in everything, and again, we can't artificially, from now on, I'm going to see Krishna in everything, and I'm always going to chant, and I'm going to teach. It just doesn't work in that way. We have to become a kinchana. We have to become materially bankrupt, meaning having no faith, no trust, and all the opulences of this world that somehow by Krishna's grace, they're all going to fail us. At death, we'll have nothing. What will we take shelter of at the time of death? We have to take shelter of Krishna. This is Nishta. When we firmly fixed that Krishna is mine, and I am Krishna's. This is, and my mind doesn't look in other places. It turns to Krishna when there's difficulty. This is Nishta. For a person like this, who's fixed in that way, there's no more suffering in this world, because he's living. Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita that a devotee lives in Krishna's mercy. Maya Tateshu Chapyaham. Krishna is alive in him. Like Maharaj was saying yesterday, the holy name becomes alive in a person. Well, Krishna becomes alive in our life, and we become alive in Krishna. Maya Tateshu Chapyaham Ye Bhajante Tu Mam Bhaktya. Who worships me with devotion. This is what it means to be a devotee. And before we can become a devotee, we have to become humble. We have to be materially exhausted. We have to, because being a devotee means to take shelter of Krishna. So in one of the first songs that Prabhupada introduced to the devotees in the West was also Jeev Jago. Do you know the melody? Same. So Lord Gauranga calls. Wake up, sleeping souls. Wake up, sleeping souls. You have slept so long in the lap of the witch Maya. Sleeping in the lap of Maya means you're going to get your head chopped off. And you're asleep. Wake up. You came into this world saying, "Oh my Lord, I will certainly worship you." But having forgotten this promise, you remain in great ignorance, thinking that you're going by your power, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. This is the mode of passion. We have to become exhausted, otherwise the modes of passion, they'll dictate, and they'll put us to sleep. We have to only depend on Krishna. I have descended, this is Lord Gauranga calling, I have descended just to save you. Other than myself, Who else is your friend? I have brought the medicine for destroying the illusion of Maya. What's the word in Bangla for medicine? No, not Bhavosana, but just Oshud. Oshud. Ainit se Oshodi Maya Nisa Baro Lage. I have brought the medicine for destroying the illusion of Maya. But listen to this, my dear devotees. Now beg for this Maha Mantra and take it. Not Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Hare, Krishna 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 Hare, Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare. No, it has to come from the sincere calling of the heart for the soul who needs shelter like a fish needs the water to breathe, like we need our air. That's the begging of the Mahamantra. Then take, this is what Namashraya, same point. And Bhaktivinod Thakur fell at the feet of Lord Gauranga. And after begging for the holy name, he received that Mahamantra. This is our Acharya, as our hero. He's teaching us how to come up. You have to, raise your hand if you've never gone begging in your life. If you've never begged anyone for anything. No one will. Usually in the world we say, anyone has done any begging in their life, no one will raise the hand. But amongst the devotees you say, anyone who's not done that, no one will. It's very hard. You have to, very hard, no false ego. So the fruit of the sincere effort to chant with humility is Namashraya, an actual taking shelter of the holy name. Their feeling has entered the chanting. Not that we're so busy feeling bad about ourselves that we don't remember to hear, but this feeling coats or pervades the holy name, our chanting of the holy name. And then later the taste and then attachment will pervade our chanting of the holy name. And all the time we're hearing very, very deeply. This is very wonderful. Again, and if we can learn to chant like this, then the whole question of why isn't it working for me, it's gone. It's gone. Because the reason why it isn't working is my false ego isn't allowing it to work, because I want to do it. And as long as I am the doer, kartaham iti manyate ahankara vimudatma, bewildered by false ego, I am the doer, I am the center, and I want to go to Krishna Loka, and there I will be an insignificant servant. You know, Krishna's got like countless billions of servants. What does he need Parijan? You know, what can I do? In that mood is what I meant, that we have to think that we can't do anything in that mood. But we can if we surrender to Krishna. But then a devotee thinks that my spiritual master, Prabhupada, Krishna is doing it. And somehow or another, I'm just Nimittakaram Bhavya Savya Sachin. An instrument. That's what will make us happy when we become instruments in Krishna's service. Conscious, willing, loving servants. Instrumental. And again, this humility is far different from low self-esteem. Because low self-esteem, what's the person thinking about all day long, continuously? Yeah, I'm like this and I'm like this, I'm so bad. It's not humility. Humility means, okay, I'm so bad, but oh, Krishna, you are so wonderful. You are a shelter. You're everything. That's humility. Now, the like to quickly read four simple points of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Very, very wonderful. How to see how a devotee sees the material world, or the difficulties in material world, how to deal with difficulties. That person is entitled to the attainment of the service of the feet of Godhead, the Redeemer from the worldly, from worldly bondage, who lives by submitting to him with heart, speech, and body, realizing by his good vision Krishna's mercy and the sufferings entailed caused by his own misdeeds. There is no other way of being delivered from this world. Whatever Godhead does is for our good. We can be redeemed if we behold his mercy in every event and in every activity. But if we notice any defect in his works or realize any cruelty therein, it is surely to result in evil and difficulty for us. All my difficulty is due to the fact that I happen to be engrossed in activities other than the service of Krishna. Sometimes even in the guise of my service to Krishna, I'm engaging in activities trying to promote my glories. And the result of that, by Krishna's mercy, will be difficulty for me. If taste for the service of Krishna really increased day by day, then I shall be indeed blessed. The darling son of Sri Nanda, who is the sole object of worship, by means of his attraction, his incredible attractiveness, has kept the attracted, those who are actually devotees, so effectively drawn towards himself that they do not experience any other desire. Such service is the only natural function of the soul. That is who we are. But there's some prayers in Padyavali that glorify the holy name and taking shelter of Krishna that are very touching. So I would like to read those, but I'll read them tomorrow. The point of Namashraya, I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, is that I have no other shelter than the holy names. I have no ability of my own. I have no opulences. I need your mercy, and nothing else is capable of saving such a person as myself. Not saving, but uplifting, because beyond saving is Krishna's service. When we chant in that mood, based on humility, based on fixedness, I am yours, Krishna. I am yours, and you've kindly come in the form of the holy names. Nothing can go wrong for such a devotee. And that, we can say that that is our goal, and that's the goal that I'm proposing here for us. That so many devotees, they may have wonderful taste in the holy name, and that pervades their chanting, a wonderful attraction to Krishna, or even love for Krishna. But without hearing the holy name, one mantra, without avoiding offenses against the holy name, including pramada attentiveness, without neglecting all the thoughts that the mind will pour in so that we can actually bathe our consciousness in Krishna's holy name, then we will not become humble unless we make this attempt. And if we don't become humble, we won't take shelter of Krishna. Why do we need to take shelter of Krishna if we have faith in our own abilities? How quickly in spiritual life misfortune turns to fortune. And how quickly in material life fortune turns to misfortune. For a devotee, there is no misfortune. One little cute example, 2 days ago here, one nice devotee, was after the class he took some prasadam. Is that fortunate or unfortunate?
Very fortunate.
Yes. And then he decided he got tired. Is that fortunate to get tired? unfortunate. So he decided to take a little rest under a beautiful tree right out by Prem Sarova, a wish-fulfilling tree. Is that fortunate or unfortunate? Fortunate. And as he was taking rest, there were so many parrots in the tree, and one of them dropped the fruit of all his eating upon him. He passed on him. Is that fortunate or unfortunate?
Extremely fortunate.
Yes, but it appeared first very unfortunate. And then he decided to bathe in Prem Sarova. So, fortune, unfortune. How quickly in spiritual life, unfortune, misfortune turns to fortune. And we should always see this. And then and only then, we can be happy if we think, oh, because difficulties must come, but how can I act in such a way that will please Krishna? How can I act in such a way that will please Krishna? How can I use this to step forward? We saw this with the determination of Prabhupada. There were so many difficulties he faced after faced and after faced, and he just used them as best he could to move forward in the movement. Now, I'm almost out of energy. I just noticed. And there's such nice things to talk about.
You can make it.
Only if you sit next to me and help me.
I can help from here.
Yes? Will you? Can is one thing, but will you? I've caught you. Okay.
I will pray that
thank
you.
So. I know what would really help me right now. If we take 5 minutes and chant one mantra at a time, and during that time I'll hear all your chanting, but please listen to one mantra, and that way I could just prepare my mind and what I would like to say, because we're very close to moving to the fourth key.
Wonderful. Prabhu, I really feel that this is important to go through this fourth key, because tomorrow is only the...
Hare Krishna. I really believe that it's important to go through the fourth key, and in this way hear Purijam Prabhu's very systematic and very, I think, a formula which we all should try in our japa.
Every key does not work in every lock. What?
But we can adopt the key a little.
Yes. A little filing, a little bit.
A little filing. And because tomorrow is our 64 rounds day, and then the day after tomorrow, we go to Darshan at Radharani's temple, and then we do a ceremony, and then that's the end of the japa retreat. It went so far, we didn't even blink our eyes properly. No, it's almost over. So yes, maybe. So 5 minutes we do. Go.
5 minutes. Please chant nicely, meaning listen to one mantra. You sit here, because I would like you to read something too, and possibly speak something. I had mentioned four keys, three of which I would give you in the sense of giving extensive guidelines, or more directing. First was chant one mantra. The second was neglect the mind. And when one tries to do these practices very seriously, to actually become a devotee to the core, the result of that is humility. And the result of that is taking shelter of the holy names, not just listening to the holy names, but hearing the holy names, taking shelter of the holy names. So those were the three keys that I thought I would be able to give But yet there was a fourth key that is the master key that really makes everything work. And I will ask you to speak on some of them a bit. But this is not an authoritative, exhaustive list, but it's something that I wanted to say more, that I understand that you're all going to have to look for and find yourselves. And the mysterious fourth key, there it is with all its mystery. These are things that will get you mercy, because that's what Namasaraya is. That's what taking shelter is. It's the realization that you need mercy. But what do you have to add to that? Here are some ideas. Maharaj spoke about faith yesterday. Faith what? What did you say yesterday about faith? It was very mysterious what you said. That it was the mysterious ingredient in the chanting. Mm-hmm. In that mood, I've placed it there. That this chanting of Krishna's holy names is the gift of Mahaprabhu, and it makes everything easy. But there has to be a quality to the chanting too. It doesn't make it easy like taking an aspirin when you have a simple toothache. But it makes it easy in the sense that something that's more or less impossible to achieve, prema bhakti, is achievable. We have to know that the whole, otherwise how can we take, unless you have faith in the holy names, how can you take shelter of the holy names? Would you like to say anything?
Yes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says faith is really the entrance gate into the palace of the holy name. And he specifies that faith as being faith that the holy name is identical with Lord Krishna. In other words, while chanting, I'm going into the presence of Lord Krishna. That's the faith.
Now the second one in this little list of the mysterious key is sincerity. Now sincerity is very difficult to define, even practically speaking. It's the absence of hypocrisy, the same inside as outside. Prabhupada even one time at 26 Second Avenue, I think, Brahmananda Prabhu and Satsarupa Maharaj were asking Prabhupada about different philosophers, and they asked, is this philosopher Krishna conscious? Is this philosopher Krishna conscious? And Prabhupada's reply was about one specifically, was his sincerity is his Krishna consciousness. And as I've grown older in my Krishna consciousness, or rather as I've practiced for more years, that has struck me deeper and deeper and deeper. This is all that's really required, is we sincerely want to become a servant of Srila Prabhupada, of our Guru Maharaj, of Mahaprabhu. We sincerely don't, even if we have material desires, there's a quotation in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam.
Be happy, huh? That's the one?
I don't know yet.
Yes.
That Srila Jiva Goswami and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, getting it from Bhakti Siddhava, says this is the qualification for chanting Hare Krishna. And instead of, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction, even if he's not able to renounce all sense enjoyment. And Jiva Goswami very carefully states that he doesn't mean you can engage in sinful activities. Even though he's sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. If he's sincerely trying. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this, which is included in the our BBT edition, is very wonderful to understand two things. One is the mood of a sincere devotee, and second will come later.
What's the number?
27, 28 in chapter 20 of the 11th canto. By my previous shameful life, my heart is polluted with many illusory attachments. Personally, I have no power to stop them. Only Lord Krishna within my heart can remove such inauspicious contamination. Whether the Lord removes such attachments immediately or lets me go on being afflicted by them, I will never give up my devotional service to Him. Even if the Lord places millions of obstacles in my path, and even if because of my offenses I go to hell, hell is suffering, I will never for a moment stop serving Lord Krishna. I'm not interested in mental speculation and fruitive activities. And even if Lord Brahma personally comes before me offering such engagements, I will not be even slightly interested. Although I'm attached to material things, I can see very clearly that they lead to no good because they simply give me trouble and disturb my devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, I sincerely repent my foolish attachment to so many material things, and I am patiently awaiting Lord Krishna's mercy.
In the Harinam Chintamani, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a magical formula for increasing one's devotion for the holy name, or for progressing step by step in the holy name. And he mentions three items which, according to this definition, have a lot to do with sincerity. One is the association of devotees, to search out that association. That's what a sincere person will do. He will find out he needs help. The next point is determination, and that's what Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was talking about, that even when the results are not immediately visible, when one is still attached and the karma still goes on, still one is ready to make a determined endeavor. That's a sign of sincerity. And the third point I have forgotten.
Yes.
It happens in life, yes.
Yes.
But I will look this evening.
Yes, and tell us.
And tell you. Mm-hmm. But he says this is really the formula which brings success: association and determined effort. And then this third point, which is at this moment a question mark.
What about
Utsaha? You mentioned that before. If we get enthusiastic, then there will be a reciprocation from the holy names.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but here is a very particular list, and I will give you the third next time. It's at the end of, almost like a summary of the work.
Okay. Then the next one I have, these are the ones that you really have to look for yourself in your own heart and with other devotees. Prabhupada once said, at Melbourne Town Hall, 1974, one person raised his hand, how can I become sincere? And Prabhupada just pointed to the devotees and said, associate with them. What weight that is on the devotees to be that kind of association.
And on the searcher to tolerate things which are maybe not going so well.
The next one we put down was hope. Hope is very much connected to faith, and it's connected to understanding Krishna's merciful disposition, and that he, sometimes when we see people, we see only their bad, but we hope Krishna doesn't see us in the way that we tend to see others. Or anyway, I shouldn't say we. So, hope. We hope that Krishna will be very, very kind to us. Adi, now a verse that, did you find it also? No. It's from the Ramayana, but quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Maharaj.
Sakriveva vrapanno yastavasmiti chayachate abhayam
sarvatasmai
dadam yetad vratam mama.
It's been said by Lord Ram.
Say it again in the Sanskrit, please.
Sakrideva prapanno yastavasmiti chayachate abhayam sarvadatasmai dadam yetad vratam mama.
Lord Ram said when Vibhishan came to surrender to him, he says,
everyone tried to reject Vibhishan. Oh, he's from the enemy, he's Ravana's brother, get rid of him, he's a spy. But he came to, he took shelter of Ram.
But Lord Ram said that whoever even once, only one time, surrenders to me saying, I'm yours, then it is my vow that I will forever give him protection and fearlessness.
One time. That is our hope.
I would like to address hope from a spiritual psychological perspective. Srila Prabhupada once called hope the expectant psychology. In other words, you are, and he said you have to count that on Krishna's willingness to reveal himself, and you have to in that way expect that, because if you don't expect something, then when it comes you don't even see it. When you don't think something is possible, you just don't see it. There is a psychology experiment, you know, they put two contesting, they put two groups of participants in this experiment before a TV, and showed them the same movie, and asked them what did they see. So it's very interesting. The movie was about a football play of those who were dressed in white tricots against those who were dressed in black tricots. And of course everyone expected, what you expect in a normal football game, results. So many goals were made by one party, and the other only was scoring so many goals. So the two groups who saw this movie, the two groups of participants in this experiment, came more or less up with the same results. Only they were having a little difference of who was making the most fouls. You know, fouls is when you do something incorrectly. But there was something else in the movement which no one has expected. No, which no one counted on, which no one looked for. It was a grizzly bear, a tamed one, walking amongst the football players. That would have been a noteworthy thing to report, but because no one had counted on it, no one had looked for the grizzly bear, and everyone had, no one had thought it's possible, therefore they didn't see. So hope is something very, very necessary in spiritual life, because it makes you turn in the right direction from where you can see Krishna walking into your life. But if you don't turn into that direction, if you think it's impossible, if you think I will never make it,
I will never, ever be able to become Krishna conscious. Then nothing will come about. Hope is very much related to enthusiasm or utsahan. Yes, despite all, what is the word? It's called ashabandha. Even in the face of hopelessness, you maintain that positive orientation. There's a verse quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that, my Lord, I have no qualifications. I don't come from a high heritage. I'm not scholarly inclined. I don't know anything about yoga. What to speak of having bhakti yoga, love in my heart. But still, hope has arisen in my heart for your mercy. And then the author humbly says, this hope is giving me pain. Pain means yearning. Ah, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Please, you know, like this. This hope is necessary to see the invisible. You will overlook Krishna's arrangement if you have no hope that he will reveal himself. I'm sorry for such a low energy example about Grizzly Bear football players.
And then here, there is what Krishna really wants from us. And this is why we should have hope. Is because if we have bhakti, or whatever bhakti we have, Krishna will reciprocate with. But Krishna, Krishna's energy and most beloved devotees, they are filled with bhakti and they wish to bestow that on everyone. So our hope in one sense is not in ourselves, but it is more in the mercy of Krishna. And that we should cherish very, very deeply. And one other one, and this is love, and this is what everyone is ultimately looking for, this one, the bhakti, love. But there is one other one that I've concluded that before one can love others, one has to feel loved. So this is so important. When we chant, and Maharaj told me something yesterday, he said, there are some of the devotees, when they chanted their rounds up on the mountain, which, by the way, we've discovered it is not Lord Brahma's head. Whose head is it?
Vishnu.
It's Lord Vishnu's head. So.
Is that Brahma pervert?
Huh? It's Vishnu pervert, I think.
The Brahma.
Oh wait, who's the one who will speak on this? Who knows?
Just that hill.
Just that hill.
Just that hill.
Is Vishnu pervert.
And the other hills are Brahma.
Yes. The hill on where we were on, that Velaskar, that once which is on one side of Sankarikor, is Vishnu, and the rest of the hills are Brahma. Yes? Okay.
And there are four other hills.
It seems. So Maharaj said he spoke to me last night and said that there were some devotees who really struggled with their chanting. Because, again, before we can take shelter of Krishna's names, we have to go through the dry desert of turning on the light and seeing that we have no taste, that our mind is full of so many unwanted things and it's uncontrollable. And then we can take shelter of Krishna's names with full heart, because we have nothing else. But it's not easy to past that desert sometimes. And sometimes we can get caught within that desert. So Maharaj suggested that I read something that will give some hope. And when you give someone in charity, it comes back to you even more. So I had sent this to Maharaj last year, and now he sent it back to me to read to you all. Now, please understand that Krishna's love is there, his affection, his caring is there, even when it appears that he's not there, and we're chanting and everything seems to be going wrong, and it seems like we are the only ones who are not chanting properly, and everyone else is doing so well, and Krishna's just simply not there. But he is there in that. Because Krishna loves all the parts and parcels. It's completely natural. He loves us. And that is why the most important thing in advancing in one sense is just to continue chanting Hare Krishna, just to continue serving, because Krishna's affection, his personal nature, will become more and more obvious, sometimes in subtle ways that only you will see. You'll be walking down the road and something will happen and you'll just understand from within, oh, Krishna is the one tapping me on my shoulder. It's him. No one else will know, and if you explain it to others, they'll think, oh, another imaginary occurrence. But Krishna from within lets you know that he is there. He's still there. He's always been there. He's there now. He was there yesterday. He'll be there tomorrow. And when we perceive Krishna's affection in spiritual psychology, then we can love Krishna. If we don't feel loved, we will not be able to love. So this is coming from a very intimate and deep part of the Bhagavatam at the end of the Rasa Lila sections, just after Krishna has disappeared from the gopis and he's listened to them pour out their hearts about their love for him. They were angry, they were disappointed, but their love for him didn't diminish in the slightest bit. They were so fixed in Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You can do anything to me, but what about you? Their love was so complete. So in this Gopi Gita, they establish themselves as Krishna established them to glorify them as the greatest of all devotees. Now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives one comment in regard to why he disappeared from them. And this comment also speaks about why he does not appear immediately to the devotees, the sadhakas. Oh yeah, we want Krishna, we do, we want to be with, that would help our devotional service so much, it would help us advance. Now why doesn't he surrender? Why? It's the same old problem again, you know. I know how to do it. I know how to organize existence better than Krishna. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, this amazing acharya, reveals the mind of Krishna in his dealings with his sadhakas. Especially, he mentions in their chanting of Hari Nam, Krishna's name. So remember this now, and especially tomorrow, when we climb the great hill into a different universe where we'll be chanting a lot of rounds. Please listen carefully and please remember, and let it reflect that Krishna's hand is there upon you. This is what he says. For those surrendered souls who worship me through Namakirtan and other means, I do not respond in order to make their worship more perfect. O gopis who cannot understand my real intention, not seeing me, those surrendered souls develop deep humility, feeling, alas, alas, everything I have done has been useless. Because I'm an offender, Krishna has not shown even the slightest favor towards me. Let me be damned. By constantly thinking in this way, Those who have not yet developed mature love for me will become free from lust, and they'll become free from anger, and they'll awaken pure devotion that is full of power and brilliance. This is sincerity. This is faith. This is fixedness. This is bhakti. We do our part, and then, as in Damodar Leela, all we can do is do our part, and as Krishna wills, he will add the second finger of his causeless mercy upon our endeavor. We cannot force that, but all we have to do is, in this mood, do our part in our chanting, in our devotional service, and our Krishna conscious life.
That's a good ending.
Yes. Yeah. It was our joint ending. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Sadhu, sadhu.
Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.
Wow. Well spoken, well spoken. Wow, Krishna.